It is not so easy to introduce ammonia as a fuel. It has so many advantages looking at it in terms of becoming climate neutral and reducing greenhouse gas, but there are definitely safety concerns and practical concerns that we need to get our hands around. So we need to bring colleagues together from all over the world and say in the interim phase, while waiting for everybody agreeing on rules, how do we handle this?
On the 25th of October, the Danish Maritime Authority gathered experts from all over the world. During the two-day event, flag state administrations, port authorities and classification societies, everybody was there. Why? To share knowledge and discuss the challenges regarding the handling of ammonia as marine fuel.
The challenge is that we have just started recently, a couple of years ago, talking about ammonia, and it will take, normally it takes, on a fast track, it takes minimum 5 years to make an agree on an international standard. So right now we have this unique situation that in order to allow or to pave the way for green transition, moving from traditional fossil fuel burning shipping into a green shipping industry, we need to pave the way for ships being allowed to use these new green fuels at a time where we don't have the international regulation, and that's where we are now.
This is Andreas Norset, Director General of the Danish Maritime Authority.
My name is Andreas Norset, and I am the Director General of the Danish Maritime Authority.
And what he and the rest of the other participants discovered, well, that's what this podcast is all about. My name is Anders Høgh Nissen, and I would like to welcome you to the official podcast on the Regulators Forum 2023, Enabling Ammonia for Green Shipping.
The theme now is about ammonia, and it's a historical moment in time because we have agreed and adopted on international regulation that says that shipping has to become climate neutral in 2050. In order to become climate neutral, we simply need new kind of fuels. And new kind of fuels, there's a lot of challenges on how should that be produced, but there are also very specific safety concerns because the new fuel types, we have a fuel called methanol, it has a lower flame point, it burns more easy, there's some risk that has to be handled. But there's also this issue about the new fuel that we call ammonia. So ammonia is considered to be a climate neutral fuel for the future. But ammonia is also very dangerous because it's toxic, it's corrosive when it reacts with water. And what we were discussing internally in the Danish Maritime Authority was that a couple of years ago, everybody found out that ammonia was going to be part of the future. And this year, everybody has started to realize that ammonia, again, it's combined with a lot of risks and concerns. Again, because it's toxic, it's corrosive. So we need to find ways to handle this. And that's what it's all about, to bring people together and find out what questions do we have to ask, what questions do we need to find answers to in order to allow ships for using ammonia.
Which questions do we have to ask, and which questions do we need to find answers to? That was the main focus of this two-day event. But before we get to the keynote speakers and participants at the Regulators Forum, let's dive into what ammonia is.
My name is Eloisa Bordalo. I am associated professor at the Newsborne Institute, and my research is mostly connected to water dynamics, what hydrogen bonds does. Well, ammonia is as a synthetic molecule, because there is a process that is used to produce ammonia. Ammonia is the most produced synthetic molecule in the world. So when we talk about the molecule, ammonia has one nitrogen atom and three hydrogen atoms. So because of this, ammonia has a large flexibility in the what we call the angular bonds, and then it can connect to many different things. So if you want to know, ammonia is in our body, so it's in amino acids that forms our DNA. Hydrogen can produce a lot of energy, and ammonia has three hydrogens, so we can produce a lot of energy using hydrogen without having the issue with CO2, right? So that's why we call it green transition. We go through energy produced by hydrogen instead of using the fuels where you have CO2. The issue here is that ammonia as a gas, it is corrosive and it is dangerous for us. And why is that? It's because ammonia is hydroscopic. So what means being hydroscopic? A hydroscopic molecule is a molecule that binds water, right? And then when we have the reaction of ammonia, that's NH3 plus water, that's H2O, we produce an ammonia that is a corrosive gas. And that means that when we inhale ammonia or we have ammonia in our eyes or in our hands, because we have water, this will create this reaction and we will have burns. That's what we call the toxicity of the ammonia. And that is the main concern. So the ways to move forward, right, is that first of all, we already produce a huge amount of this synthetic molecule, but we need what is produced is used, right? So if we want to use ammonia now in another way, in the maritime industry, we need to produce more, right? So we have to find a way to increase this production. And we have to find a sustainable way to increase this production. And at the same time, looking at the safety measures.
Now you know a little bit more about ammonia, its benefits, challenges, and what we should focus on going forward. So let's get on with the Regulators Forum program. One of the first keynote speakers was...
My name is Klaus Winter Graugard. I'm the Chief Technology Officer at the Mads McKinney Møller Center for Zero Carbon Shipping. So we work on a clear mission at the center as a not-for-profit independent organization to find solutions and strategize how the industry can get to a net zero as soon as absolutely possible and latest to be CO2 net by 2050.
After Klaus Graugaard's keynote presentation, titled Fuel Pathway for Ammonia, we had the opportunity to catch up with him and gather the highlights from his talk.
I think what is important, and what was mentioned also this morning when I gave my introduction, was that we see now that clearly the future of the energy transition for the hard-to-abate sector, such as shipping, will contain several energy solutions and a mix of fuels. But we also see now that clearly the role of ammonia as an alternative new carbon-free molecule for energy carrying would be significantly important for the industry. So the scaling opportunity and the environmental opportunity for sustainably applying ammonia is very large. And I think it's fundamentally important to understand that you need to bring new types of alternative fuels into to the industry that has a certified sustainable production pathway. And the advantages of ammonia is that you could talk about the alternative ways of producing ammonia from what we call blue ammonia, where the feedstock would come from natural gas, where we could, through a controlled and regulated process, sequester the carbon by steam reformation. And then you have the blue hydrogen that you could then do a synthesis and have the nitrogen applied, and then you would have the blue molecule of ammonia. But you can say, looking at the more long-term solution, the production of and scaling of ammonia could then turn into the green ammonia molecule when we start getting more access to renewable energy, where we could then do the electrolysis of water and get the green hydrogen available to produce green ammonia, which would represent a huge environmental opportunity for an energy carrier. I think we're not far away from being able to do it. I think the solutions are now, in the last few years, have become very clear to us that this can be done. And we can also see that that production systems can be actually established under sustainable conditions. And we also see that the technologies for applying molecules such as ammonia can be developed adequately. The next step is now more to develop the safety frameworks.
So exactly how do we tackle this challenge? A case from Singapore was presented from the stage. And you know what? We had a chance to catch up with the speaker after that presentation as well to dive into more details about the case.
I'm from the Singapore's Maritime and Port Authority of Singapore. Ammonia bunkering, it's very new for all of us, and we are taking steps to try to get ammonia bunkering operationalized. And we have an ongoing expression of interest that we have conducted together with the Energy Market Authority in order to bring in low and zero carbon ammonia to Singapore for us to begin ammonia bunkering. So from now until then, we are trying to see if we can do any trials or workshops with interested parties to take small steps and build confidence in handling ammonia. So our local research institutes, they have actually studied various bunkering modes. So this is from the Nanyang Technological University's Maritime Energy and Sustainable Development Institute. And they have studied the various pathways, which includes truck-to-ship bunkering, shore-to-ship bunkering, ship-to-ship bunkering at the anchorage, as well as ship-to-ship bunkering at the berth, so simultaneous operations. So these are the four bunkering modes that the industry usually uses, and we are exploring whether these modes and how applicable ammonia is in each of the modes and what are different dangers and the risks involved for each of the different bunkering modes. Yeah. So for challenges, I think for one is how do we manage that leak of ammonia if it does happen? And also because now that we are dealing with such large quantities and that Singapore is a very small country, a lot of the port areas are actually very close to where people are staying. So if there is a leak of ammonia, then that ammonia cloud or plume cloud could actually affect the local population. So it's very important for us to know how to manage this leak and for us to know how we can respond and try to contain the leak as far as we can. So the challenge now is that we have to know, to understand the behavior of ammonia, whether is it dispersion by air or by sea. We have to know how it behaves so we know how to react when it does, when a leak does happen. So for the future, I think we have to develop really sound safety procedures as well as regulatory guidelines so that everyone can follow a same set of procedures that we can do for bunkering.
Following the keynote presentations, a workshop was held for the participants. They were divided into groups to discuss the various aspects of ammonia handling. After the workshop, we met some of the participants to chat about the workshop discussions and gather their insights.
Hello, I'm Manuela Tomassini. I'm the head of Department for Sustainability and Technical Assistance at EMSA, the European Maritime Safety Agency, a technical body that supports the member states in this journey towards green shipping. Everything is very interactive, based on exchange of experience and lesson learned. So it's a very practical approach to some burning issues that we have. And of course, with ammonia burning, it's clearly the right label. What I find extremely interesting is the exchange of knowledge. It's like if you break bubbles, there is a lot ongoing. And this kind of fora really help breaking some bubbles of knowledge and build, of course, this sharing as a step towards what is going to be greener shipping. I was taking part in some discussions on the importance of training when you deal with the moment that this will be part of the scenario, because there will be ships that are going to be operated in ammonia. The human element will need to be ready to handle it. And of course, we need to make sure that there are standards for it. Certainty is very important. And from that perspective, also for safe bunkering, we will need the standards. So there is a kind of common fil rouge across the different topics, that it's the importance of an harmonized approach and standards that will make sure that all the different stakeholders speak the same language and aim at the same purpose.
Having a harmonized approach and a common language is essential. And a very important part of achieving that is regulation.
My name is Captain Inus Abdel Nasser. I work with the Ghana Maritime Authority as the Director for Technical Services Division. We broke up into the various platforms or workshops, particularly talking about the regulatory aspect. If you don't have regulations, it might be very difficult to proceed. Then we talk about training of the seafarers with respect to the safety regulations as how they can be protected whilst they are using this new green fuel. Then we talk about the environmental issues. Bunkering also comes in here, safe bunkering. You need to have the infrastructure in place to be able to go ahead with this bunkering. And the social acceptance. You need to bring social, you know, awareness, create awareness for these people or all stakeholders to be able to accommodate or understand what ammonia is all about. And the focus is our target, the IMO greenhouse gas net zero emission by 2050. So this will be our target, and then we should all work towards that with all aspirations that we got earlier on to adopt the revised GHG in July. We should use the same momentum, and I believe we can achieve that.
My name is N. Girish. I am coming from Indian Register of Shipping. I am Chief Surveyor and Senior Vice President, looking after rural development and research activities. I was discussing the training and safety for seafarers, because that is one very important issue. Unless you address that point, you can't get the social acceptability, because people should know that ammonia is safe. For that, you have to do some safety case studies and see that it is safe. And the training should be given to all the crew, as well as good procedures should exist, so that in case of any accident or any kind of leakage or anything, what is to be done should be very well known, and people should be trained very well in that. And they should have the confidence that I can work in ammonia fuel ship. So to that extent, the training and guideline is required. I think that's a very important thing for improving the confidence for the crew. That is one of the biggest burning questions. Because of the toxicity of ammonia, there's always a fear that what will happen with this kind of even though we are used to chemicals, we are not used to using it in the engine room, where all kinds of things are happening and there could be leakages. So what kind of alarms are required, or maybe when to wear the PPE, all these kinds of concerns will be there for the crew. So all that has to be addressed. That's one of the most important points to be addressed, in my opinion.
Training, guidelines, toxicity. Handling ammonia is a complex task. And that is exactly why so many different aspects are being discussed here at the Regulators Forum. They are all tied together, so you have to look at them collectively.
Yeah, hello. My name is Gijs de Jong, and I am representing Bureau Veritas, Classification Society, and my role is Chief Executive for the Nordic region, covering Denmark, Sweden, Norway, and Iceland. Yeah, we try to look a lot in different aspects. If you look at safety regulation, which is very much the area where class societies are involved, but it's also about bunkering. It is about crew training and crew safety. So all these elements are tied into each other in a way. We try to think about how can we help pilot projects and first movers to get going in such a way that things get accepted between the regulators, flag states, coastal states, port authorities, ROs acting on their behalf, and the class. So there needs to be some cooperation in order to facilitate that. We call that as an idea to create a regulatory green corridors to accept, make sure also that there is this mutual understanding and acceptance going forward. In the second stage, the key point is to be able to share experience feedback from those projects, so as to be able to share the key learnings of that and to let that feedback into the regulatory development process. And as that goes forward, that will hopefully facilitate also the process at IMO to come up with an international standard, being it guidelines or regulations going forward, to have a global standard available, which is what at the, in the end everybody really is looking for. And we think that class societies have a quite unique position and role to fulfill in supporting that that effort at the international level. It is quite complex. And if you go into, even in the safety area, if you dive a bit more deeply into it and what we all have to do in terms of still development work on the regulatory side, there is quite a lot of technology involved, for example, in order to be able to assess the effect of, for example, an ammonia leakage. That is not simple. There is simulation work to be done if you think about, for example, cloud dispersion. How do we get about that? How do we create, for example, performance standards for those kind of assessments? There is plenty of work to be done. So some of it is really technical, like the example I just gave. And some of it is much more practical, but at least as relevant as the technical part, and maybe even more, is the safety of the people on board, the safety of the people in the port. So the whole aspect of the environmental impact, and that then ties into emergency response as well. So I don't think there is one element you can lift up, as this is the key thing. The answer to the multiple choice question, where to focus on, is kind of the last box, is all of the above, please.
There is no single key challenge or question that stands out when discussing enabling ammonia for green shipping. As the second and final day of the event was about to wrap up, Andreas Nordsæt, the Director General of the Danish Maritime Authority, took the stage.
I will just round off my first of all to say a very, very big thank you to all of you.
After the applause and before a visit to MAN Energy Solutions, we spoke with Andreas Nordsæt.
We have had some very inspirational presentations and we'll all leave much wiser. We will know much more about ammonia. We will know much more about what kind of risks are attached to it and why is ammonia important. We had a presentation today also clearly demonstrating that there's no doubt that ammonia needs to be part of the equation, because if we don't use ammonia, then we will not be able to become climate neutral in 2050. This forum is about bringing people together, sharing knowledge and ideas and thoughts, so that when we leave, we will know more about the problem and we will hopefully also have a consensus on important questions that we need to find answers to.
With that, the Regulators Forum 2023, Enabling Ammonia for Green Shipping, was over. Almost. The bus to the optional technical site visit at MAN Energy Solutions was packed.
Welcome to my site. My name is Bjørn Fodækker. I'm the site manager here. And also the responsible for the two-stroke business. Where we are, and a few words where we are right now here, is, yeah, you mentioned it's the academy. We have academies in Korea, in China, in Greece.
My name is Rasmus Vistrup. I'm Deputy Head of Two-Truck Sales in MAN Energy Solutions.
We did manage to get a few insights from Rasmus from the company, MAN Energy Solutions, about the development of their ammonia engines.
We have initiated the first combustion of ammonia in our two-stroke research center here in Copenhagen in the first half of July 2023. We are moving full speed ahead and we have a four-cylinder engine where one of the cylinders are equipped with engine components that enable it to be fueled with ammonia. We have obtained very, very positive R&D results, having reached 100% load on ammonia already now, as well as many important takeaways when it comes to emissions such as NOx emissions, ammonia slip, but last but certainly not least, laughter gas emissions. Since 2019, we have spent upwards of 100,000 man-hours on our two-stroke ammonia engine development. Out of those 100,000 man-hours, more than 2,500 has gone into identifying hazards in terms of the operation, in terms of the handling of ammonia as marine fuel from an engine designer's perspective. This is very, very crucial when it comes to initiating a design for important engine components and systems surrounding the engine as a whole. We aim to deliver the first commercial two-stroke ammonia-powered engine by the end of 2024. In turn, this will mean that the first MAN ammonia engines will go into service sometime in the very early 2026. In MAN Energy Solutions, we have communicated to the market that our first ammonia bore size will be a 60-bore engine. It is, in principle, the Swiss knife of marine bore sizes, which can be applied across a multiple different vessel types and sizes. So once we have positive experience, we actually believe that the uptake of ammonia as a marine fuel will be very, very fast.
Thanks for listening to the official podcast on the Regulators Forum 2023, Enabling Ammonia for Green Shipping. In the show notes of this podcast, you can find resources and links for further reading. This podcast is published by the Danish Maritime Authority, written and produced by Kasper Møller, Lærke Sivkær, August Sandfær and Anders Guldberg from the podcast agency Her Her. My name is Anders Høgh Nissen.